Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Friday.
It's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
Time for another edition of the Reardon Roundtable.
Friday.
Now, Mark Reardon on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I have not been on KMOX in a week since last Friday. I took all week off post-deer season, but I miss Jane so much that I had to come back for Friday and the roundtable because my weekend would just not have been the same. Ms. Duker, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. Happy KMOX Day.
It is. It's 11:20, so not unlike Star Wars Day, it is KMOX Day. We are celebrating it around the globe today. That is exactly right.
And my birthday is coming that you can start preparing for.
Yeah, right around Thanksgiving,
right? What? It's on Thanksgiving,
Thanksgiving
prepare now.
Day. All right. Well, I'm all prepared. Let me tell you, about as prepared as I'll be in a week. That's what I'll tell you. State Representative Steve Butts is with us this afternoon. How are you, Steve?
Mark, doing great, and thanks for having me. Hope it's going
to
be a good
day. It's great to be here. I'm sorry. He informed me before the show he did not have as much success during the rifle deer season that I did last week in Howard County. Got a not a monster 8-point buck, but a nice one. And right now that meat is being processed at G&W, which is nice. Chris Goodson is also with us this afternoon. Chris, how are you?
Mr. Reardon, good afternoon. Good to see you.
Well, let's start on a bit of a, well, maybe more than a bit of a somber note here with what's going on with COVID, not only across our region, but across the planet. But here's Dr. Garza. They did a briefing earlier today, and we've known, and, you know, I've certainly followed this and tracked it through the week. I sort of dipped out of a lot of news coverage just to take a little time off, but very dialed into the COVID situation. And here's Dr. Garza from this morning.
So here's the problem. While the hospitals are already almost full, the virus continues to spread like a wildfire. That means if we continue on this current path, in another couple of weeks, hundreds more people will be sick and will need to be hospitalized, and it will be difficult to find room for them.
All right. I think we're on a real bad track here, and unfortunately, by mid-December, I'm really worried about where these numbers are going to be. So, Jane, I'll start with you because nothing is trending in a very positive direction. When it comes to the people who are contracting the virus, it's interesting to me because I've had a range of people, a lot more people in the last 3 or 4 weeks, I don't know about you guys, that I've known personally that have had this virus, the majority of whom have had very little or no symptoms. Now, I had a text exchange with someone today, a healthy, I don't even think he's 40 years old. And he's had, listen to this, not only did he test positive for COVID, but also for the flu. And he's been whacked for 9 days now and just brutal. So, you know, this we know this. We've known it from the very beginning that this thing has a range of, you know, attack zones, if you will. I will tell you, Steve, I'll start with you on this because I sensed from rural Missouri that people just aren't taking this very seriously right now. And I think maybe that's beyond rural Missouri because people are exhausted and that's not mentally where we should be right now, given the timetable and heading into the winter.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I do spend a lot of time in rural Missouri and there are some people there that take it serious, but by and large, when you're in parts of Crawford County that I'm in, you will find there's not a lot of acceptance of mask wearing. There is a lot of social distancing just built into being in, you know, that part of a rural county. But it's a widespread, you know, it's widespread everywhere. There was a time back when we were all freaked out, March and April. I only knew one person, Joe Runyons at the state legislature, who almost died of it. But that was the only person I actually knew. Now I know dozens of people, several in my own family. Right. Thankfully, as you said, most of them are sick and recover, but the spread is certainly everywhere. And COVID fatigue is everywhere. It's just everywhere. Psychologically, it's hard to stay up.
Mm-hmm. You know, let me, before I go to Chris and Jane on this, Steve, from, and I don't know if there's a consensus or anything, but, you know, a lot of times in many situations I'm finding right now, which is making it more difficult to track these things, I've asked a few friends, where'd you get this? They don't have a clue. I mean, if you're in the same room with someone who is positive, if you know, well, then you would sort of know, you'd have a good idea. But it's very strange that, you know, a lot of people, and I think that's because of the incubation period, too. I mean, if this thing doesn't show up for a few days or a week, or they say, you know, 12 to 14 days, I still think that that's very rare. But, you know, people aren't exactly sure where they're getting it. And then if they don't have symptoms, they could be spreading it, et cetera, et cetera. Chris, where are you right now? Where are we on this virus? We know the hospitals are getting overwhelmed from a staffing perspective. The other thing that makes this tough right now, and this is true in the schools as well, is if you got to go on quarantine for 14 days, you don't have a whole lot of options there. You know, then you're stuck at home and, no. And that becomes a staffing issue.
Well, a couple of things. I mean, I'm in the retail world, so I'm out and about with people every day. I can tell you, I don't know one single person that's not taking this seriously as of today. Rural America or urban America, everyone is taking it serious. Now, it's also not a shock that it's going to spread because we've been told that, and we're not living under a rock. Viruses spread. I think the positive thing, though, we're a lot more prepared for it now than we were in March. We try to rewind our brains. In March and February and April this year, we were worried about the hospitals being maxed out. We didn't know exactly what was going to happen. I heard yesterday that the Mayo Clinic up in I think Minnesota, they've got tons of beds open. So the hospitals are obviously getting to their capacity, but they're ready and they're prepared for it. And people are, before were 10 days in the hospital, now they're down to 5. So that's a positive step. We're going to get it. Everybody is trying to be safe about it. I know everywhere I go, everyone's wearing masks. They're taking precautions. I hate to see these restaurants get slammed because the restaurants I know have gone overboard in trying to be prepared for this thing. I mean, overboard.
We'll
get to that. That's an important part of it. Jane, I want to let you jump in here, but I do want to say one thing just because, you know, and Chris, I'm just telling you from personal experience that these attitudes are different. And they're not only different in rural areas. There are still people that just don't think it's serious at all that I come in contact with. And I, for the most part, yes, most people are taking it seriously. They're wearing masks. I get that. But there's a lot of minimizing, and the behavior that you spoke of back in March and April is not what people are doing right now. I mean, they're kind of living their lives, which is part of the problem. Jane, go ahead.
I mean, you know, I haven't been anywhere, not that I've been that many places, but everybody's wearing masks. And so do I hear a few anti-maskers out there on Twitter and the weird places? Yeah, but there aren't anti-maskers. I'm sorry. I don't, you know, I just don't believe that. Now, do people think that you're an anti-masker if you don't mandate? And I'm not sure I'm fully there. I mean, whether there was a mandate in St. Louis County or not, I would be wearing a mask. And I think most people feel that way. I don't think people are wearing a mask because they're being forced by Sam Pace.
Right.
But you raise a good point here. And this has been my issue with masks from the very beginning. And I think it's bearing itself out right now. It's wear a mask, wash your hands, do all this stuff, social distance, blah, blah, blah. I get it. Okay. We know that at this point. This is not being spread by people coming into contact with one another with their masks on. Okay.
No.
They're wearing their masks when they go to Chris's store. They're wearing their masks when they go to the QT. They're going in their house or in their hunting cabin or in their Thanksgiving celebration.
Having a party.
They're taking their mask off, and then the whole room potentially gets infected with it. So now even Governor Parson is saying, look, I'm not for Governor Parson coming in and saying we can't have Thanksgiving celebrations, but I do think it's wise to think this through. I'd been debating this for a long time, just even internally. I have parents that are in their upper 70s. We have an aunt of my wife's who's high risk, and my son was coming from Mizzou, so we weren't going to have a big big Thanksgiving, but I called it off and they kind of called it off, just thinking that's the wise thing to do. I hope that people think about it. It sucks. Yeah, I get it. Yep. It really sucks right now. But this thing, you know, Dr. Garza has spoken of it in this way, and I realize that a lot of people aren't getting very sick, thankfully, but this thing is everywhere right now. It is everywhere. So I think it's probably right. best to stay as isolated as you possibly can. I mean, I'm not saying you shut down your life, because you can't do that right now. And I don't like the restaurants being targeted, because I don't think there's any evidence that this is spreading in restaurants.
Right. That's the thing I'm upset about. I'm very upset about the restaurant thing. There's no data. It's like throw a dart at a dartboard and destroy an industry. I mean, look, if you think that restaurants are spreading it, then you think it's spreading everywhere and you ought to shut it all the way down. I think once you cross that lexicon, then, you know, so that's what makes it feel pretty arbitrary. And that's why I think they're so frustrated. And to not have a conversation, like Paige won't even meet with them. I thought Lida's approach was the most reasonable. She's like, look, our contact tracing is telling us this is private gatherings. So that's where I'm going.
Right.
Paige gave up on contact tracing a long time ago. So he doesn't have any idea where this is coming from. So I trust her judgment, frankly, a little bit more on this, because they have a health board. They've been looking at the cases. They know where they're coming from. And she's not willing to take an axe when a scalpel will work. And that's where that's where I'm at. I'm with.
Yeah, I would feel, I'd feel safer going into a restaurant right now than a private gathering of 50 people.
Amen.
Okay.
I agree.
Absolutely.
So look, we can't mandate not going to people's homes. That's impossible. Okay. You're not going to, what you can do with good leadership is you offer guidance like you just did, Mark. You said, hey, it's probably not wise to
don't
gather.
Don't be stupid.
Right. Now.
Right.
You can't mandate that. And the silly thing that Dr. Paige has done about shutting restaurants down and then giving them $5,000, okay, from the government, saying here's the feel good thing. Let me tell you,
$65 a worker is what.
Well,
that
not even the money, Jane. It's not even the money. It's going to come with a sheet of 25 different compliances that you're going to have to do and fill out,
including get rid of your lawsuit.
Exactly. So it's silliness. It's the wrong way to approach it. The restaurants said use common sense, shields, masks, cleaning the place. They've been saved. Let us live.
They're being punished. Is what they're being. And that's what's frustrating. And these people can't react. And he says, oh, tip your waiters. I'm like, the waiters don't have jobs. Okay. Like,
right.
You can't tip people that aren't working. I mean, right. So I just, it's very frustrating.
Yep.
All right, hang tight, gang. We got much more to get to. You mentioned Lida Crewson. She's not running for re-election. We'll get into the mayor's race and a whole lot more this afternoon on KMOX. It's the Reardon Roundtable for a Friday afternoon.
The Reardon Roundtable on KMOX.
Welcome back. Friday, 2:21, KMOX. It's the Reardon Roundtable. As we head into the weekend, we have on the panel this afternoon State Representative Steve Butts. Chris Goodson is here with us, and Jane Duker as well. Chris, let me start with you on the segue into Lida Crewson not running for mayor. You and I talked about this, I think, a few weeks ago. It didn't come as a big shock to me that she has decided not to run. So let me start there. Was that surprising to you that Lida has decided to not run for re-election?
Well, probably not. But, you know, she had said she was going to run. So I think the announcement that she's not does come, you know, as a little bit of a shock. But I think through the circles throughout the city over the last couple of weeks, you could kind of see that she was making that decision not to run. But, you know, she's had her pluses and minuses. I think one of the pluses is she was really good at the budget, and we needed that, because when she came in, the covers were bare, and it's been tough on the budget. But I think the next mayor moving forward from that needs to just be bold and take some chances. And, you know, maybe that might have not been her forte, be a little bit more, you know, less risk adverse on taking some chances for the city. I think that's what we need right now. We got nothing to lose. That would be my political.
Well, I think that, I think she put her, yeah, I think what happened with her is she put her chips on the table on the city-county merger, thought that that was going to be something that might not even require a mayor for the future, and that obviously was a failed process. But, Jane, does this leave us with Mayor Tashara Jones next spring?
If you ask her, I think, yeah, she'll tell you that. But I think that's yet to be seen. I think some people are looking, and I'm arguing for Steve Butts for mayor, but he seems to be eschewing my request. So that it's hurtful, but you know, it's time to serve, Steve. But, you know, I think Lyda's best moments were the pandemic, frankly. I think she's handled the pandemic with a lot of, you know, with a steady hand. And I think I agree with the, I think I read the editorial. Most of the editorial was trash, but some of it where they said she basically kept the lid on the pot. I think she did. That does concern me that, you know, the city's on a precipice. I mean, the budget is going to bottom out. She had it stabilized, but it is going to bottom out. And we have crime is completely out of control. And I'm concerned that some of the candidates, including Tashara Jones, this defund nonsense, that terrifies me. I mean, you know, I represent cops and they're exhausted. They're tired. They're underpaid. That's not going to get better with a couple of these candidates. And I think that, and I do think that scares even people on the north side, if you look at Prop P results. So I think there's still, even though we've had the pandemic covering up, there's still some fundamental issues that need to be addressed.
Yes.
And so, I don't think that anybody that gets elected is going to have a mandate, which is going to be very
challenging. Hold on, Steve. I want to offer a rare, I want to agree with Jane here and offer a rare compliment to Mayor Crewson for, exceptionally focusing on the virus while ignoring the fact that murders and the murder numbers in her city continue to eclipse the number of dead people from COVID. It's shameful. It's been embarrassing. She did all of this while completely ignoring the crime issue and never being willing to criticize Kim Gardner. Everyone wants to dance around these racial issues. It's embarrassing. So I say good riddance, but I'm worried what's coming down the pipe. Steve, go ahead.
Mark,
and by the way, I like Jane's idea. I would like a sane person like you to get into the race. Butts, I might even endorse you.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. My wife will kill me and you. Okay, so, I, Mark, I disagree with you so much on this. You have said a bunch of times, I think I even texted you a few times, saying the mayor's doing nothing about crime. That is simply not true. If you would be, she constantly has crime at the front of her agenda. COVID has
Well, she should let people know it, Steve. She should let people know that because perception is the reality. And you know that.
And Mark,
she's unwilling to criticize.
You know
she's
that.
Dancing around the police issues because she doesn't want to say anything nice about the police. Have you looked at her Twitter feed? I mean, this is what
Not
people
much.
See. And you may see the inner workings, but this is reality of what people see. And it's kind of embarrassing.
I do see the inner workings. Let's go with she's got Judge Jimmy Edwards running things. If that gentleman is an expert in the field, he is an expert in the field, and I just believe in him. Chief Hayden is trying every day. Every cop I know is trying every day. It's not just even the policing. It's the Boys Club. It's all kinds, St. Patrick's Center. It's everybody is trying to work on crime and the dysfunction and the systemic problems of poverty that we have. COVID certainly has exacerbated the murder rate. I mean, there's no other reason to not think that. It simply has. Year after year after year, we have about 200 murders in this city. So this year, we're going to have 250, God forbid, whatever it is. It's hellacious. That is up across the board in the United States. Gun violence is up. It's part of it is COVID. Part of
but
it
why
is
that?
Ridiculous...
Part of that is COVID. Part of that
part of
is defund
COVID.
The police and not letting the police do their jobs. That's what it is. These criminals know exactly what the consequences they might face right now. Zip, zero, nada. Especially in the city of
they
St. Louis, Steve, and you know that. We have a circuit attorney that will not prosecute criminals.
So that's where we're. Let's move to the next mayor, whoever that may be. That leader's got to be bold. They've got to come out and say crime is number one on my books. I'm supporting the police. I'm locking these bad guys up. And it's going to be every day, every hour, we're kicking your butt. And if we don't, I'm just going to tell you this, and I'm a lifelong city resident and will always be, we're going to lose population. And the less people we have here, the less chance we have to rebuild this city. We need a bold vision, someone that's going to bring this place open for business and safe for crime. Period. Those two things. It's not rocket science. There's nothing else to talk about. Make it safe and open for business, period.
Mayor Crewson did get
right there.
Mayor Cruzan did get us a residency, which was very important to the police. And I will tell you, had residency not happened, we would have lost many, many police officers instantly. So she did stop that bleeding. The pay is still a problem. Frankly, there was nothing she could do about that. I'm not defending it because, you know, Steve has probably more faith in the leadership of the department than probably most police officers do. Because I think the allocation of resources is lacking. I mean, we're top heavy. The cops are not on the streets. They're top. There's a lot of issues there. And yeah, somebody is going to have to dive in and like Goodson says, which I don't agree often with him. Somebody's going to have to dive deep into that department and figure out how to allocate the resources we have now more efficiently, better, get more butts on the street and look toward the future.
Not Steve Butts on the street. Okay. Different than Steve Butts on the
street.
Well,
yeah, more butts, more Steve Butts on the street.
Jane, all right, more butts on the street. So that's awesome. To Jane, I know you know a lot more on the inner workings than I will. But if you go back, say, 15 years ago, whatever, Jennifer Joyce was our circuit attorney. And, you know, we had other chiefs back then. Think of Sam Dotson. Think of others. You look at our crime problem, we had these exact same conversations, exactly the same. It is an ongoing epidemic. It's just ongoing.
Steve, so we're 200 officers short. Yeah. 200.
We were 200 officers short 20 years ago. We're always short. We're always short.
It's perception. I was there for 6 years as police commissioner. We had crime and we took it down to 40% low. And a lot of it had to do with perception. We went out there every day and said, we're going to take care of this and we're going to fight for it. And look, we would love to have more officers, but that's all wishful thinking. We can't sit here and talk about that right now. We got to have people out there saying we're going to kick butt and then we'll bring more people back in. If we don't, they're going to leave.
All right, hang tight, gang. We're coming back with more Jane Duker, Chris Goodson, and our next mayor, Steve Butts, on the panel this afternoon on KMOX. All right, welcome back. 2:35. Jane Duker with us, former police commissioner Chris Goodson, and state rep Steve Butts. Jane, I'll start with you on this. I mentioned earlier in the show, I kind of took this week off for the most part, didn't dive into the news. Can you brief me in the last week? Do we still have a president-elect, or are we still fighting in these states? Or what's going on with the whole president thing? Who's going to be the president, Jane? Can you clear that up?
Well, Joe Biden is the president-elect. Our current president and crazy Rudy Giuliani, that performance yesterday, or was it the day before? I don't even remember anymore. The days are starting to run together with the hair dye going down his face. I mean, that basically encapsulates like where we are. I mean, he's getting, you know, when judges actually require evidence, Twitter doesn't require evidence, but courts of law do. And when the courts ask for evidence of fraud and all the things that these people are claiming, there is none. And he's lost 29 out of 30 lawsuits are already gone. So, I mean, he's getting his butt kicked and there's
well,
no fraud.
Listen to Sidney Powell. Yeah. So this is one of the president's attorneys, Sidney Powell, talking about this conspiracy about flipping votes. Sounds interesting, right? Here's what she said.
One of its most characteristic features is its ability to flip votes. It can set and run an algorithm that probably ran all over the country to take a certain percentage of votes from President Trump and flip them to President Biden, which we might never have uncovered had the votes for President Trump not been so overwhelming in so many of these states that it broke the algorithm.
All right, broke the algorithm. Tucker Carlson, Fox, you'd think that he'd want to figure that out. He tried, he says, and they didn't give him any evidence.
We took Sidney Powell seriously. We had no intention of fighting with her. We've always respected her work. We simply wanted to see the details. How could you not want to see them? So we invited Sidney Powell on the show. We would have given her the whole hour. We would have given her the entire week, actually, and listened quietly the whole time at rapt attention. That's a big story. But she never sent us any evidence, despite a lot of requests, polite requests, not a page. When we kept pressing, she got angry and told us to stop contacting her. When we checked with others around the Trump campaign, people in positions of authority, they told us Powell has never given them any evidence either, nor did she provide any today at the press conference. Powell did say that voting is...
That's where we are, Chris. I mean, I don't know how much longer we got to do this, right?
Well, look, we have the best system on earth ever, ever, ever. And here's why. You should always challenge elections, always. All right, that's what our founding fathers said. They've
Absolutely.
Got time to do it, and to Jane's point, bring evidence. So far, what I've seen, I haven't seen overwhelming evidence. Here's a news flash. Is there fraud in elections? Yeah, there always has been. I'm not being ambivalent to it, but there's no overwhelming evidence here to overturn an election right now. They have their time period to do it, and they should be given that. That's the beauty of our system. But it's a short time period. And why is it a short time period? Because we do have to transition, and we will have a transition of power. There will be no Trump camping out in the White House. He will move out. And Biden will continue to blame him for everything. And that's the way it's going to be. But there will be a transition. But it should be challenged. I hope people challenge things. I don't want everybody to just be, right?
He's telling this people he won.
Hey, look, I'm in the resistance now. Reardon, you and I are part of the resistance now.
This is, wait, hang on, let's play. This is the Secretary of State for Georgia, who's a Republican, Brad Raffensperger.
Like other Republicans, I'm disappointed our candidate didn't win Georgia's electoral votes. Close elections sow distrust. People feel their side was cheated. I live by the motto that numbers don't lie. As Secretary of State, I believe that the numbers that we have presented today are correct.
How can you leave the Secretary of State in Georgia, Steve Butz, out of the conspiracy? You would think someone would have looped him in on the algorithm, but apparently
right?
they did not.
Yeah, okay. I don't buy the conspiracy thing, but, you know, deep down, you knew Trump was never going to be gracious. Yeah. Even after he's had his challenges, he's not going to be gracious. That is not in his personality. And the notoriety that he will receive will continue. He did get a lot of votes. He represents a lot of people in this country. And it just shows how divided we are. But to think that Trump would acquiesce and concede and help a transition, that was never going to happen.
Steve,
you know
are
what,
so...
though?
Steve, you are so right. It's not going to be a classy act on his part. But you know what? So what?
So what?
I mean, you know, the other side wants him to say he lost. It's like after a football game. You say you want to go over and say good game. If you don't say good game, whatever. Okay.
Right.
All right. You won. Move on. And if being your side, I don't know why everybody's is so hard up about wanting him to say I lost. You're not going to get it out of him. Not going to happen.
I do have a problem with? I do have a problem with him dragging state officials up to the White House to try to get them to do things. That's undermining democracy. And it's you know, as a lawyer, I mean, he should.
It's tampering.
And
is
it's
illegal?
You need to leave those people alone. Yeah, it is. When you're using your office to try to influence them doing theirs, that's a problem. And the fact that we are immune to that, the fact that we're sort of like desensitized to that sort of shenanigans is one of the reasons why he needs to be gone. But I got trouble with that. If you could start screwing with election officials, we're in a world of hurt. Democracy's in a world of hurt.
Jay,
Chris, go ahead.
You know, just yesterday we heard from a couple guys in Michigan, I think somebody in their state Senate, one of their state reps, Republicans. You know, it's they get invited to the White House. It's not like Trump put a gun to their head and said, get on a plane and come to D.C.
I agree.
I'm like, what the heck are you guys doing?
They shouldn't be doing it either.
Why are you doing it? Why?
Right.
Are you
I agree.
But there's nothing illegal there.
It's not illegal. It's not illegal at all.
Look,
it's undermining democracy.
Doing it is
Here's
my
the
point.
Deal. No, you're not going to have Trump to blame for all of the world's problems anymore. You got 38 days or whatever's left. His legacy
He's still blaming
is going
Hillary.
To be, his legacy is going to be that he was like Toto in the Wizard of Oz. He tore the curtain back and you saw all the hypocrisy that goes on that we've known. That's his legacy. And he's gone. He's done. As far as him running again, ain't going to happen. He's too old and campaigns don't revive themselves like that. There'll be too many other people there. My fear though, look, Biden is going to be blah. But my one fear is the regulations that Trump did away with for business people to be able to do business and trade. If those restrictions come back from the Obama era, we're in trouble. That's the only thing I worry about.
But Chris, what's the end game here moving forward as far? Yeah, Steve's right. He wasn't going to go quietly. We knew that. But there's not going quietly. And then there's being dragged out by guards on January 20th. I don't know if it's going to take to that. You know, take. I just. Look, I think the country needs to kind of move forward one way or the other, and I wasn't a big fan of the other side questioning the legitimacy of the election in 2016, and now it's happening here. You have a good point. If you believe the polling, and nobody believes the polling anymore, there's a healthy portion, a sizable portion of Republicans, if not the majority, that think that this election was rigged and stolen.
We are so self-centered right now as a nation. We think it's all about us. Look, Nixon, Kennedy, there was threats. There was allegations of fraud and corruption. The country moves on. Look, yes, they're divided. There is 70 million people voted for Biden or plus, and 70 million voted for Trump. That's pretty split. So we're divided. We will move on. We've got a great system, and Trump will not be drug out of the White House. It'll just be on January 20th. You're no longer president. He is now a past president. And usually past presidents just fade away. Obama's been different. He stayed in the game. But most presidents fade away, or you got like Carter's out building houses for people. They will fade away. It is over. It's done. We won't be talking about Trump this time next year. But his legacy has been important. He has pulled the Band-Aid off, and now we got to deal with it.
And Steve, what is the takeaway from, because I think you're a common sense guy, you look at these things, but I do think there's a lot of folks that are on the extremes, well, of both sides, but on the left, if you look at the 73 million people that voted for President Trump, there's a tendency from the California and the, the New York elites to say, well, these are all just dumb idiots in the middle part of the country. But there are a lot of people that voted for Donald Trump that are worried about the agenda from the other side. They know that he's a reprehensible human being. They don't care because they liked what he did in the White House and they were sending the big middle finger. But it is important, don't you think, moving forward for Democrats to kind of have a little bit of a grip on why people voted for Trump that's outside of hatred and bigotry?
Oh, I do, and I'm sure Jane agrees with me. And
yes.
I thought every time we had another big defund the police, the defund the Pentagon thing, those were all votes in Trump's camp, and
that's right.
It is just not having your finger on the pulse of middle America and that big group that's in the center that really has common sense, but they're busy raising their families, and I think they want stability and they don't want these caustic personalities. I believe 100%.
I am really
hang tight, gang.
Oh,
and they don't like you.
Jane, hang on. We'll come back here. We got one more break. We'll come back. Hold your thoughts. It's the Reardon Roundtable for a Friday afternoon.
The Reardon Roundtable on KMOX.
Welcome back on our what could be very well our last warm or warm-ish day for a long time. And Steve Templeton is going to join us in just a few minutes after 3 to sort of guide us through that. Hey, we have, this was big news while I was gone. I think it might have gotten announced during my vacation week. We're going to carry the SLU games right here on KMOX, which is exciting. And Bob Ramsey, my old neighbor from my old neighborhood, is going to join us here at 3:35, Jane. So we'll talk with Bob. That's exciting. Okay. I'm looking forward to that. I'm very excited about what SLU has been able to accomplish. We just have to hope that there are games moving forward. Yes. By the way, on that front, it's one of the stories that's sort of breaking here this afternoon, also on the COVID front, is that the governor is considering, you know, using the National Guard for some help here, setting up some field hospitals. You know, when this all happened back in March, there were a lot of plans that were implemented. I don't think people know the lengths to which the government went. You know, we saw some examples of the cruise ship that docked in New York Harbor that they didn't end up having to use, but there were facilities that were being built all across the country. I have a friend that works in the industrial oxygen industry, and you know, they were being tasked with making sure that you could get the liquid oxygen in. It's a complicated process to make it breathable oxygen, but that's going to be something that's necessary right now moving forward, just because the pattern is such that December could be miserable. But let me go back to this just for a second, Steve, and let me start with you. State Rep. Steve Butts, Chris Goodson, Jane Duker. If we have to go to a more extreme stay-at-home order, you know, when I was looking around the last couple of days just driving around, I remember when you saw the traffic patterns in March, April, even May, maybe June. There weren't a lot of people doing their thing. Now people are living their life. You know, they're just kind of moving forward, hoping that they're not going to get this virus. It's hard for me because I understand the severity. I get what Dr. Garza is saying. The hospitals are very, very concerned. We heard from some people this morning that were healthcare workers. Jane, we might play some of that audio in the next hour, and they're desperately asking people to really, you know, make sure that they be careful. But it almost seems like everyone has moved on. Steve. Yeah. I know we addressed this. You say people are wearing masks, but I also think that to a certain extent, this is, unless you have a family member that is sick right now, you don't think it's a direct threat.
Yeah, okay, so Mark, it was a big thing. Nobody knew, you know, if you think back how it was March and April, there was a lot more fear, a lot more unknowns. You just kind of felt like if you got it, you were going to be dead in a matter of days. And,
right,
you know, thankfully, now we know it's not quite that bad. There's still the high-risk populations. But the reality is, both economically, psychologically, socially, we were going to get back to our lives. You're only going to stay locked down so long. You also have to weigh out all those other factors. You know, if people feel that their lives are so depressed that, you know, their drinking is way up and suicide and violence is way
all
up,
those things, right?
It's falling behind schools. We're all, you have to also balance those things. We can't just go back into a lockdown.
You know, you do. And that's what worries me about Thanksgiving, because I think that the smart course of action for people is to be careful, not get big groups together. But then you have the isolation factor. You know, we're in a situation. My wife's aunt just relocated here from northern Wisconsin for the winter months. And that was, exciting for us because we would have some family here. All my family is up in the Chicago area. And now it looks like we can't really, you know, get together for Thanksgiving. She's high risk. So the isolation factor, the mental aspect of this, is only going to get worse. Chris, what would you say on this? Go ahead.
Those things we can live with. We hate it, but we can live with those. The other thing, though, it all boils down to you got to pay the bills. Okay. So as Steve said, at first we thought we were going to die in a couple of days back in March. That's what we all thought. We now know it's not the bubonic plague. Okay. And that we can still go out. But eventually everybody's got to pay the bills. And there's this elitism culture that's going on in the world right now where, you know, professionals can still go about and make their money because they can Zoom it and they can do all those things. But a lot of people, that's not their livelihood. And sports are great for the psychology and the mental part. We all talk about, oh, we got to have sports to be happy. But sports just isn't about being happy. That's a business. You got beer vendors. You got parking valet guys. You've got hotel workers, laundry people. All those people out of work, they got to pay bills. And we're not a socialist country where the government's going to support them. You got to work. You got to work safely, but you got to work and pay the bills.
What are they doing? There's so many people, Jan, I'll let you jump in here a second, but there's so many people that I just wonder what they're doing. And, you know, at the very least, with this has been spectacular weather in the fall. I can't remember a fall this great, October, November. I've always loved Missouri Falls. But now, you know, it's not going to be that way. And you're not going to be able to be outside as much. And that's going to lead to more isolation. Jane, go ahead.
Well, what I see is, you know, when I get dive bombed for supporting the restaurants, you know, you want to just kill grandma. And I'm like, you know, it's not that black and white. They think that it is the government's responsibility to prevent every person on the planet from getting sick. That's not possible. Look,
right.
High risk people really need to take care of themselves. And, you know, and it's not the waitress's fault or the server or the bus boy or the bus girl, you know, killing grandma. I'm sorry. And so there's no middle ground. I mean, this debate going on in the county is so destructive. It's another problem I have is because obviously nobody else took this tact, but the debate going on is so destructive because these waiters and waitresses are being told that they want to kill people. I mean, it's awful. And, you know, and if you don't support every single health order without questioning it, you're undermining the health of everyone.
Yeah.
These are
Chris,
elected officials.
Goodson, before you jump in here, wait, hang on, Goodson. Just I want to make a point just piggybacking on that, because we saw that, by the way, and this was disgusting, I thought, a few months ago. And you saw teachers walking around. I didn't see this around here, by the way, in fairness. Teachers with, signs that said, you're trying to kill us, you're going to kill teachers. It was ridiculously over the top, which is part of the reason I think we're in this situation with some people not taking it as seriously as you should. Go ahead, Chris.
I was just saying, you have health issues. I know we're short on time. You got health issues. And to Jane's point, we will take care of grandma. We are a semi-socialist country. We do have Social Security. We will take care of the older people, but the younger people got to work. It just dawns on me, you know, guys are playing football and basketball, and those are young people out there. They're able to do that, but yet you can't go to a restaurant, which are typically young waiters and young people. If you're sick and you're old, don't go to the restaurant. If you're young and you're healthy, go. You're able to do it in sports.
Yes.
You're able to do it in football and basketball and hockey. I think we can do it in restaurants. take care of
you know, by the way, on that front, as we close out, I'm with you. I think you're right about that. People have to think about it
there
in those terms.
There is a balance.
Pitt and Virginia Tech are going to play this weekend, and because of the new rules in Pennsylvania, both teams not only on the sidelines will have face masks, but during the play. Goodson, you played football. Would that be comfortable?
Yeah. No, it won't be. I mean, it'll be like a mouthpiece, but you'll get through it. It's like having a uniform on. I mean, you got to get through it. And you know,
all right.
I would well, complain about it, but yep.
Chris Goodson, Jay Duker's going to hang. Steve Butts, great to have you. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Jane, we'll talk with Steve Templeton, Bob Ramsey in the next hour. Hang in there. Second hour coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.